Man, my wife and I are blessed with four children, and our oldest is Silas. He's six, and we have twins that are four. Their names are Simeon and Liren, and our youngest is named Blaze, and he's two. And so with that group and those ages, for a while, we had four children ages three and under. All right? It is possible, okay? And I don't have to convince you that it is kind of crazy at times. But we've been blessed with four children. And one thing that we've learned as a family, as a husband and wife, is with kids, especially that many in that age range, man, whatever we're doing, when we set out, we need to have some kind of plan. We need to have some kind of plan, or chaos erupts pretty quickly if we don't. And so a few years ago, we were on vacation. We were down in good old Branson, Missouri. I don't know about you, but I love Branson. And it was Sunday, and we were trying to decide where we were going to go for dinner that night. And we had learned the hard way that the wrong way to go about doing that is to drive around and randomly look for a restaurant. Just with the age of kids that we have, certain restaurants that we're looking for, get in, get out, right? And food that's kid-friendly. And of course, you got to follow the rule when you're on vacation with restaurants, right? Never eat at a place on vacation that you have when you're at home. Y'all have that rule, right? You know what I'm saying? And so we're going to make a plan. So Sunday afternoon, I get on the World Wide Web, and I do some Google research about where we should go to dinner that night. Kid-friendly, place we've never been before. And so I find this great little place. It's called Baskin's Deli. Never been to it before. Locally owned, everything homemade. Had a great kids menu. And so we're going to go to Baskin's Deli for dinner that night. And so it gets to be dinner time. Everybody's pretty hungry. We load up the kids in the van. We roll to Baskin's Deli. Everyone's happy. Everyone's hungry. Everyone's ready to feast. We get out and we walk up to the door. And I go to pull the door in. It's locked. I'm like, what in the world? And I look at the sign and it says, closed on Sundays. So it's like, oh no, there goes our plan. So we load everyone back up into the van. We're kind of out in the middle of nowhere and unfamiliar territory. And so here we are doing what I just said we didn't want to do. Driving around trying to find a restaurant, kid friendly, never been to before, we can get in and get out. And there are just not hardly any choices around at all. And some places I knew our kids wouldn't eat anything at. And so we're driving around. We finally find one place that looks like a possibility. We pull in. I pull out my phone real quick and Google it. And it has like 39 reviews. And like 38 of them say, never eat there if it's the last restaurant in the world, right? So we load them back in the van after that, and we start to drive around a little bit more. By this time, my kids are crying, I'm crying, right? Everyone's starving. It's just chaos has erupted in the van. And so it gets to the point of where you just have to begin to throw out some of the rules. Right? Like, okay, we can eat somewhere where we have at home, and we can eat somewhere that's maybe not one of our favorites or going to be the best choice. And so finally, after driving around, everyone's starving, everyone crying, of all places, we land to eat at Long John Silver's. Yes, nothing like fried grease, right? So I got to tell you, the chicken planks at Long John Silver's are underrated, okay? So if you're looking for a lunch place today, chicken planks, Long John Silver's, there you go. But we set out with a plan to find a place to eat. And man, even when we had a plan in place, it still fell apart and it still ended up in chaos. And so if it's that hard to find a place to eat for dinner that's good for our family, even with a plan in place, man, how much more important is it for us to have a plan in place to lead our family well? And so that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning. This idea of having a battle plan in place for us as men to lead our family well. And I can tell you in the 14 years I've been married, and the 6 years I've had of being a father, man, I've failed more times than I'd like to admit. And I've realized it's very, very difficult. And I realize also that, man, there are many of you here that are further along, much further along in the game than me. and have more experience and have more wisdom. And certainly I could learn much from you. But one thing that I've been blessed with over the last several years is a mentor relationship with a professor of mine from seminary. And one thing that he has passed on to me, he's written much about families and leading our families well as godly men. And one thing that he passed on to me was this idea of having a plan to lead our family well. And so his name is Dr. Randy Stinson, and basically what I want to pass on to you this morning is the plan that he passed on to me as well, okay? So I'm just straight stealing this from him. This is not original to me, and I'm very willing to confess and admit that. And so what we're going to look at and what you have on your sheet of paper there, which I hope you'll follow along with me, these are nine areas for men to initiate in and lead well in, all right? Nine areas for men to initiate in and lead well in. And that's what we're going to roll through this morning. So you'll see each of them starts with one word. It's kind of the big picture word, and it's followed by a phrase that kind of unpacks it a little bit. So it's concise and it's pretty simplistic. And it brings kind of this practical application to this idea of leading and protecting and providing, which we talked about last week. But man, let us not forget. Let us not forget as we really launch into more a lot of the practicals here and kind of the horizontals here of leading our family well. Just like David commanded Solomon, as we saw last week from 1 Kings chapter 2. Man, before the horizontal is in place and before we can do the horizontal well, we must have the vertical in place. We must keep the commandments of the Lord our God. We must walk in His ways, right? And it's that, man, passionate worship that leads to joyful obedience. There's no substitute for that. So before we launch into this, let us be reminded of that, right? We have to have the vertical in place. Our relationship with Christ, man, it has to be strong. It has to be on fire. It has to be vibrant. And let us allow that to overflow into the horizontal relationships as we seek to lead our family well. And so, number one, the first area that we as men need to initiate in and lead in, and that is vision. Vision. And the statement that follows it is, this is where we're going. This is where we're going. Okay? If you want to throw a scripture with that, Proverbs 29:18, a verse you're probably familiar with. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And so, as a man, we are to lead and set the vision in our home. We are to lead and set the vision in our home. We are to look at our family and look at the Word of God and pray through and determine, man, this is what I want my family to look like. This is the vision. What do I want my family to look like 15 years from now? This is the vision. This is what it looks like. This is the hope for my family. And so we think through that and we pray through that and we begin to formulate this plan as we search the Word of God and as we pray through it. This is the vision. This is the goal for my family. Now, ultimately, this isn't something that you have to do completely on your own. And it probably is good for you not to do completely on your own. A good way to do that, I think, is to be the man and initiate and call together kind of a meeting with your family. And if your children are old enough to partake and contribute, that's great. Include them with it as well. So you and your wife and maybe your children, you sit down and you sit at the dinner table, maybe with your family, and you look at them and you say, man, let's try to figure out, as we seek the Word and as we draw upon God for grace, let's try to figure out, what do we want this family to be all about? What's the vision for this family? What's the goal for this family? What's the hope for this family? And here's what I want you to do. Man, I want each of you this week to think about this, to pray about this. And then we're going to gather together again a week from now, and we're going to knock this out. We're going to draw up a plan for our family. We're going to draw up a battle plan for our family. And I want each of you to be a part of it and contribute to it. And so then that week, man, you really, you're praying through it, you're thinking through it, and you call the meeting back together a week later. And really you have in your mind, a very solid general battle plan, thought through in your mind for what the vision is for your family and what it's supposed to be all about. So when you come together for the meeting, yes, you're seeking contributions from your family, but man, you're really initiating and leading the conversation. Okay? So your wife sees it and your children see that you are the leader, that you are the lead person in your family setting the vision. Yes, they contribute, but you are the leader. And so, we gather them together. We ask the question. And then, we begin to write it out. And we write this document, this battle plan of what our family is going to be all about. And so, maybe that starts kind of like with a mission statement, right? Just one sentence that kind of big picture says, this is what this family is all about. And so my wife and I, we drafted one of these around a year ago. We drafted a battle plan. And this is what we determined the mission would be for our family. And probably for most of us in here as brothers in Christ, for most of us the mission is probably going to be somewhat similar in a lot of ways, right? Maybe the wording is going to be a little bit different, but the mission is going to be somewhat similar. And this is what we determined the mission for our family would be. And that is to glorify God as a family, all right? Glorify God as a family as we worship, walk, work, and witness. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Four W's. There you go. To glorify God as a family as we worship, walk, work, and witness. So that's the big picture. That's the vision. That's what we want this family to be all about. Glorifying God as we become complete disciples and worship, walk, work, and witness. And so, just to kind of broaden that a little bit, from there underneath our family mission, we just kind of define some core values. Okay? So these are just kind of like, so this is our mission. Man, what are some things that we really want our family just to be all about that kind of falls underneath that? And so what I want to do just real quick, and I realize not everyone may be able to see this really well, is really just to wake you up here, all right, is to have you guys throw out some ideas to me just real quick, and we're going to jot these down. So when you think about what you want your family to be all about, all right? These kind of characteristics or quality traits. What do you want your family to be all about? Someone raise your hand or throw one out. Forgiveness. Amen. Okay, what'd someone else say? Fruit of the Spirit. Amen. I'll just write fruit. What else? Gracious? Absolutely. Can you all see that at all? No? Okay. I'll let you. You can come take a picture of it later if you want. And someone else? Come on. Yes, sir. Selfless. Amen. Maybe I should write bigger. Then I'll run out of room. But what else?
Solid foundation.
Integrity. Is that what someone else said? Okay. Absolutely. What do you think that solid foundation is built on? Zach?
Word.
Amen. Anyone else?
Humility.
Anyone else? Honesty. Okay, that's great. We'll wrap it up there. And obviously we could spend a little more time and think through that a little bit more. But these are great. These are core values we want our family to be all about. So our mission, man, is to glorify God as we worship, walk, work, and witness. And these are some core values that we want our family to be all about. Forgiveness through the Spirit, graciousness, selflessness, integrity. I have some of these written down. I wrote down some of our own that we established as well, that kind of fit in some of these categories. Some do, some don't. We said we want our house to be a house of worship. All right, that's something that kind of core value defines our home. Just a simplistic, especially with kids our age as they are, to love God, love others. Right? Pretty simple, big picture core values. Another one that we define was unity. We want our house to be a house of unity. We want to be unified. We don't want there to be sibling rivalries that exist in our home. Where brothers and sisters are cheering against each other at their games, right? And hoping that they fail. Man, we want our kids to love each other and support them and cheer them on and be their biggest fans. And then some of the other ones I had down are things that you guys said. Honesty, forgiveness, fruit of the Spirit, so on and so forth. And so we write the vision down. And these are our core values. And so our family knows, man, this is our vision. This is what we're all about. And these are things that we are to focus on in the process. So vision, this is where we're going. All right? That takes us to number two. Number two. Direction. Direction. And the phrase that goes with that is, this is how we get there. This is how we get there. Direction. This is how we get there. And so a verse you can throw along with that, Proverbs 21:15. A lot of wisdom in the Proverbs, right? The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. And so it's this idea of having a plan. And so it's not enough to just have a vision for our family. Man, we have to have a plan set in place that helps unpack the vision and helps our family, helps us lead our family to live out the vision. And so we have a purpose now, right? That's our vision, kind of. We have our purpose. But what's the process? We have a mission. So what's the method? And so that's kind of what we're unpacking and thinking through as we develop the direction. And so we ask ourselves, okay, this is the mission. This is what we want to be about. This is what we want to accomplish. Now let's back it up and let's think through, what's it going to take for my family to become like this? What's it going to take for my family to accomplish this vision on a daily, weekly, and monthly, and really even yearly basis? What are some things that I need to put in place and lead in? What's the plan on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis to help our family move towards the vision in a very intentional and functional way? And so this is our job as men. And so one of our core values in our home is Malachi, based on Malachi 4:6. And it says, He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Whew. That's an incredible verse right there. He'll turn the hearts of his fathers towards his children and the hearts of children towards his fathers. That's huge, isn't it? Man, everything this world is all about is trying to create division in family and division between a father and son. And how many rocky father-son relationships do we see? And so we want to have a house, and not just with fathers, but with mothers too, where the hearts of our children are turned towards their parents, and the hearts of parents are turned towards their children. But a lot of these things, man, they're not going to happen if we're not real intentional about it, right? And so one of the things that we have put in place to help our family accomplish this goal and move towards that vision is we're very intentional. We think it's very important for Brittany and I both to spend a unique individual time with each of our kids to foster that relationship one-on-one, to draw our hearts together. All right? It's huge, I think. So part of our plan is twice a month, either Brittany or I will take one of our kids out one-on-one for a night to be alone with that child. And so if I'm taking my daughter out, it's a daddy-daughter date night, right? If I'm taking one of my sons out, it's not a date night. You with me? All right? It's a man night, okay? And my kids will say, it's a man night. So we're going to go have a man night. And Brittany will take out one of our sons. It'll be a date night. And if she takes out one of our daughters, it'll be a mommy-daughter night. And the value of this is huge. And just one example. Several months ago, my son and I, my oldest son Silas, he was 5 at the time. And a friend of mine that actually goes here to Harvest, he called me and he had 2 extra tickets to a Bradley game. They're actually playing Wichita State that night, who was undefeated, number 2 in the country. And so he had 2 extra tickets for the game, and he called me and said, "Hey, would you and Silas like to come along with me and my little guy?" I was like, "Yes, absolutely. I'm a big basketball fan." And so we had awesome seats of the game. We were literally like half court in the very front row. And so before the game, we went to this new pizza place, which was really cool, you know, and atmosphere was buzzing. It was right there kind of by the Civic Center. And we ate pizza at this new place, and then we went to the game, and man, we sat in the front row, this huge game, place is just buzzing. Then at halftime, we have these, like, VIP passes, right? And so we get to go into this VIP area at halftime, and they've got all this free food, like, desserts everywhere, and, you know, food everywhere, soda, so on and so forth. So my son and I were just, you know, feeding our faces at halftime, just loving it, living it up. And then we go back out to the game, and it's the first night that Bradley has our new mascot, Kaboom, right? So my little guy gets to take his picture with a mascot, which was cool. And man, it was an awesome night. Bradley lost by 30, I think, but it was still an awesome night, okay? And so we had a great time together, and we leave, and we're in the van going home, and it's really late now for him. It's like 10:30 or something like that. And as we're going home, we're talking about it, kind of debriefing. And I said, Silas, what was your favorite thing tonight? And I was expecting him to say, you know, something I was thinking, like, the new pizza place was cool, or like sitting that close at the basketball game, or like all the free food we got at halftime. And you know what he said right away? When I said, what was your favorite thing tonight? He said, spending time with you, Daddy. Spending time with you. 5 years old. Man, how much did that mean to him? It didn't matter that we were in the front row. It didn't matter that we were VIPs. It didn't matter that we went to this new pizza place. What he cared about was spending time with his daddy. And man, in that night, our hearts were turned towards each other. And it doesn't have to be fancy, right? It can be like you're running an errand, you need to go to Lowe's. And so what do? You just grab one of your kids. Just grab one of your boys and say, hey, your turn. We're going to Lowe's. And you take your kid to Lowe's and you walk them around. And then maybe afterward, you go to Sonic and you grab a milkshake. And you just sit and talk in the car. And as you do that, man, you're moving your family towards that vision, and your hearts are coming together. So it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be really simple. Another one of the kind of core values in our home is for the marriage to be primary, for the marriage to be the primary relationship, and for the marriage to paint the picture of Christ in the church. So what's it look like? That's great to have that plan, but what do we do to put that into place and move towards that goal, right? So part of our plan, man, it's daily, weekly, yearly. And so daily, it's praying together with a goal of 5 to 7 times a week, knowing that it's not going to happen every day because of different circumstances. So we try to pray together and combine our hearts in Christ together as we pray. Each day we very intentionally debrief, okay? And your wife probably needs this more than you. And so after we put the kids to bed, we go sit down on the couch and we just sit there and talk for 15 or 20 minutes. Every night we try to do that, just to debrief about the day and talk about what happened and what went well and what didn't. And just have a time to share very intentionally together, to nurture that marriage relationship. Twice a month, at least twice a month, we're trying to have a date night. Okay. Trying to have a date night. Man, your wife and you need that time away from your kids. You need that time together where you can just talk and be together and love one another. And then yearly, we're looking at trying to do some type of getaway at least once a year. And even if it's just one night, even you just get a hotel in Chicago and just take your wife shopping and go out to eat a few times and just get away. And man, that just does wonders for your marriage. And so, those are just some of our things that we try to do to foster that relationship. And so maybe you want your house to be a house of worship, right? Like I said. So what's the plan? I mean, it's not just going to happen when you have a bunch of sinners living together. You know what I'm saying? Like, worship is just not going to naturally take place in a lot of ways. So you're intentional and you set a plan daily, weekly. What are some things that you're going to do to lead your family to make it a house of worship? And so, of course, daily it's things like, man, we're all going to be in the Word each and every day individually. And so part of that as the leader of your home is making sure that your children have an age-appropriate Bible and maybe like a devotional type book that they can be reading through or that you can help them be reading through, right? Man, daily we're going to pray together as a family. Maybe before the kids leave the house that day, you gather them and you pray for them. And you let them know that, man, this day is about Christ. And our purpose is about worshiping Christ today. And you pray for them and then you send them out. Or maybe you do that before they go to bed. And then just kind of throughout the day, day in, day out, you're just, You're speaking of the Lord and how you're thankful for what He's doing in the life of your family, what you're learning from Him, and you're passing this on to your wife and your children. So it's just having a just kind of general atmosphere of worship in your home. And then weekly, what are we doing? Man, weekly, part of our plan is, of course, we're attending worship here on Sunday morning. All right, as a family, we're here on Sunday morning for worship. We're trying to gather once a week in our house as a family for me to lead the family in a time of family worship. It's not anything fancy. It's not anything crazy long. It's pretty short and it's pretty simple, but it gives me the opportunity to lead. It gives them an opportunity to worship together as a family. We'll talk a little bit more about what that looks like next week. And then weekly as well, our children are going to Awana. Brittany and I are part of leading some impact groups. And so we've got these daily things set in place. We've got these weekly things set in place to move us towards the goal of being a house of worship. And so these are just some of the things that we have set in place. And for you, depending upon the age of your kids and what that looks like, it may be a little bit different. But you get the idea. And so don't get me wrong. We are far from perfect, and there's a good chance if you walk into my house tonight at 7 o'clock that one kid's going to be pulling another kid's hair, right? Another kid's going to be taking a toy from another kid, and another kid's going to be riding the dog like a pony. You know what I'm saying? Okay? So I'm not trying to say we're anywhere close to perfect at all. But we've got a plan in place to try to move in the right direction. And when things do blow up, which they certainly will, right? Man, it gives you an opportunity to step back with your wife or with your children and remind them of what the vision is all about and what we're trying to accomplish. And so when your child takes a toy from the other child, we stop them and we say, remember what this family is all about. We are to love God and love one another. Now, what do you love more? Do you love that toy more or do you love your brother more? I love my brother more. That's right, because that's what this family is all about, right? Loving God and loving one another. And so you point them back towards the vision. You point them back towards the plan. And you've got to set out before your family, and you can constantly be reminding them what you're all about and what the plan is. And so we intentionally determine our purpose. We map out the process. And then step three. Step three is imitation. Watch me. Imitation. Watch me. Don't worry, we're going to start moving faster through some of these. So, we got 9, 7 to go, right? Imitation, watch me. A verse you can throw with this. We talked about this last week. 1 Corinthians 1:11. Follow me as I follow Christ. Apostle Paul saying to the Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ. And so, man, you want to know the most effective way that you can lead your home? The most effective, like simple, clearest cut way that you can lead your home well, to be things like this. Really, like the most simple, really effective way. Three words. Three words that is just the simplest way for you to lead your home well. And that's this. You ready? Be these things. Be these things. You want your home to look like this? You want your home to be all about these things right here? The most effective way for you and I as a leader to move our families towards these things, man, it's for you to be these things. That can't be underestimated. That can't be undervalued. The role that we have as leaders in setting the example for our family of what we are to be all about and to live out the mission and vision for our families. And so we very intentionally look at our families. We explain the vision. We walk through the process and the plan. And then you know what we say to them? It's kind of scary, really. We say to them, okay, that's the purpose. That's the process. Are you ready now? Watch me. Keep your eyes on me. Follow me as I live this out. Follow me as I follow Christ. Whew. And if that doesn't put you on your knees every day, I don't know what does, right? And so we see our need for Christ and our need for grace because we fail so often. But that's what we're called to do as men, is to lead and set the example for our children. And so we tell them, this is what we're all about. This is how we get there. Now watch me and follow me. Keep your eyes on me, son. Keep your eyes on me, young lady. And then we lead it out. And so sometimes, and most of the time, it's just kind of, it's just kind of very casual, right? And very informal. And it's the day in and it's the day out, setting the example for them. But sometimes it's good for it to be formal as well. And so a rule we have in our house, or kind of a thing that we have in our house, and I stole this from Dr. Stinson, and that is, if I can say it, you can say it. If I can't say it, you can't say it. All right? Watch me. Follow me. And so, as you might guess, there are times where I say something that I should not say in front of my kids. All right? I can't help it if people pull out in front of me. You know what I'm saying? I have no control over that. So maybe we're in the car and someone pulls out in front of me and I get a little angry or a little frustrated and a word like idiot slips out of my mouth. And my kids hear it, right? And so, I don't want my kids saying idiot. I don't know about you, but I don't want them calling people idiots. So if I can say it, they can say it. If I can't say it, they can't say it. And so then what happens is I create unintentionally an opportunity for me to model an apology to my children. And so I say, guys, daddy just said something he shouldn't have said. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And they say yes. And so we model humility and we model asking for an apology to our kids. And just day in and day out, like I said, it happens formally sometimes, and then it happens informally sometimes as well. But we're constantly trying to set this example for our children. And so this is part of what it looks like to lead in the home and to lead well. And so, because we know, as I quoted last time, right, that quote from John Maxwell, we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. And so this is going to happen very naturally in our home in both positive and negative ways. You know what I'm saying? And so a friend of mine that lives in Missouri, this was a few years ago, he told me a story that one Sunday morning he didn't go to church and he decided to go to like a baseball game or something instead. And their son, who was 7 or 8 years old that morning, said, "Mommy, how come Daddy isn't coming to church with us this morning?" And she said, "Oh, he's going to a baseball game." And their son said to his mother, "Does Daddy not love God anymore?" And man, did that hit hard, right? And so they're watching us, and they're forming conclusions, and they're getting an idea of what it looks like, and they're following us, whether we realize it or not. And so they're watching us. May we lead them by our example. And then number four, instruction. And the phrase that goes with that is, "Let me show you how." Let me show you how. Instruction. And a verse you can throw on there, again, a verse probably a lot of you are familiar with, Proverbs again, 22:6. "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Instruction. Let me show you how. And so it's crucial for us to set this example for our children. But man, it's also crucial for us to very intentionally provide some clear-cut instruction about how to do some things and how to handle some specific situations that are no doubt going to arise in the lives of our wife and our children. And so, man, they're going to face temptation, right? They're going to face tough decisions. They're going to face some challenges and trials. So we as men, we as leaders, we want to prepare them for those situations. And we want to give them instruction. And we want to say, "Let me show you how to handle that or do this," as we lead our home. And so just some examples. And again, this may look a little different depending upon what your home looks like and the age. But one way we do this in our home, one way I seek to instruct and show them how, is to run through what I would call like practice scenarios with our family. Okay? Kind of run through some practice scenarios. So here are some things that you're probably going to deal with at some point, maybe this year or next year or in life coming up. And how are you going to handle that? So I talk through these things with my children, right? So it's like, what are you going to do if you're in church this Sunday and you're in your class? And I'm talking to my four-year-old. What are you going to do if someone comes and just grabs a toy out of your hand and runs away with it? What are you going to do? Man, for a four-year-old, that's like World War III. You know what I'm saying? Especially for my middle son, Simeon, who just responds with like physicality to everything. So what are you going to do? So I walk through it with him, and I talk through it with him, and I try to prepare him for that. Maybe another example. What are you going to do if we're at the park and daddy's not right there with you by your side? So I'm talking to my six-year-old. What are you going to do if we're at the park and daddy's not right there and a little boy pushes your little sister down? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I want my sons to be prepared to lead and to protect and be ready to run towards the battle at times. And so what are you going to do in that situation, right? A friend of mine I know does this with his little boys as well and with his family. And he was telling me a story about this very thing that happened a few years ago. And he said he was at a baseball game. His oldest son was playing baseball, and his family was at the park, and there was a little park back behind him. And he was watching the game, and the park was kind of off to the side, so you know, he was kind of trying to do the both thing. And so he had some younger kids playing at the park, and he's watching the game. And one of his little daughters came running up to him and said, some little boy just pushed down our little sister. And so he looked at her, and he said, okay, go tell Fisher. Go tell your older brother, who was 7 or 8 at the time. And he said, you know, I'd walk through this scenario over and over and over again with my boys of what to do in that situation. And so he was close enough where he could see and he could jump in and intervene if he needed to. But his young daughter went over and told his son Fisher, who was 7 or 8 years old, that some little boy had just pushed down his little sister. And so he said he just stood there. His son didn't see him and really know that he was watching. But he watched his little boy, 7 or 8 years old, take the first step towards the battle. Right? We're not looking for contact, for conflict, but we're ready to take a step towards the battle when conflict emerges. And so he said he watched his son kind of walk over to this little boy. And he said he couldn't hear exactly what the little boy was saying, but he said it did involve a lot of hand motions and maybe a little bit of finger pointing. And that little boy turned and walked away. And he said after that, he walked up to his son and he said, all right, time to debrief. Right? So they went and grabbed a Coke and they kind of talked through the process. And he said, what'd you say to that little boy? And he said basically something like, I told him if he pushed my sister down again, he'd be in the dirt. All right? And so he walked through the process with his son, and he said, he told him, you know, okay, it was great that you went to protect your sister. And maybe next time you don't need to do so much finger pointing. All right? And maybe next time your words could be a little gentler, okay? And he walked him through and he gave him instruction about maybe how to handle the situation with a little more grace. But man, his son was prepared to fight the battle. His son was prepared for that specific situation. And so as our kids get older, we walk them through these scenarios. And we say, what are you going to do when you know you are safe and the umpire calls you out? Right? Man, what are you going to do when you're standing there at school and your friends walk up to you and they start making fun of someone? What are you going to do in that situation? How are you going to respond? What are you going to do when you're at someone's house and they pull out their cell phone and they say, look at this pornography on my phone? What are you going to do in that situation? What are you going to do when you're at someone's house and maybe there aren't any parents there and someone says to you, here, smoke this weed. All right? What are you going to do in that situation? Because these things are going to happen. Let's not be naive. Our children are going to face situations like this. And we don't want them to be put on the spot and have to try to figure it out themselves in the moment. Because with lack of wisdom and peer pressure and things like this, man, they're probably going to fail more times than not. And so when these questions and situations arise, we want them to hear our voices in the back of their heads. And we want them to just very quickly be able to reproduce something that we have said to them that they can say that leads them away from the temptation, or leads them away from falling, or saying something that they shouldn't say, or doing something they shouldn't do. And so, man, I can tell you, I do this with my wife as well. And my wife is a very intelligent and competent woman. All right. But she appreciates me kind of walking through these scenarios. What are you going to do if one of the neighbor moms calls and says, our son hit their son and he's a little jerk? Right. How are you going to respond in that situation? What are you going to do if you're at one of our son's baseball games and someone, another mom in the crowd in the stands, starts yelling at our son and I'm not there? What are you going to do in that situation? So we walk through these situations. We talk through them. We kind of practice them. And we give them instruction. And we remind them, this is what we're all about. Now, how do we live this out in these situations? All right. Number five. Number five is inspiration. Inspiration. And the phrase that goes with this is, isn't this great? Isn't this great? And 1 Thessalonians 5:11 is the verse for this one and the next one. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Inspiration. Isn't this great? And so, as a leader of the home, it's our job. It's our job to lead the group morale of the home. All right? It's our job to tell our family, man, this is a great family. I love this family. I'm so thankful for this family. This is an awesome family. You guys are great. This is a great family. And we pump them up and we get them to believe this, and we lead them to believing that this is a great family. Because here's the thing. No one else is going to tell them that, right? And in fact, the neighbor kid down the street is going to tell them, your family is weird. Your family is strict. Why does your family not let you do this? Or why does your family make you do that? Your family's weird. And you know what your kids start to think? I have a weird family, right? And why do they get to do this and I don't get to do this? They have an awesome family. My family's weird. And so it's our job as the leader and as the man of the home to tell our family and to lead the family to knowing this is a great family. We have an awesome family. And man, you do this in a lot of ways in your home when you don't even realize it, right? And your dad did this too. So question, poll, here we go, time to draw the line, right? How many Cubs fans in the house? Raise the hand, all right? How many Cardinals fans in the house? Okay, so that's most of you. Now, how many of you in here, cheer for the same team as your dad did? Raise your hand, okay? So it's most of you, right? And why do you do that? Why do you cheer for the same team that your dad did? Because he told you that the Cubs were awesome. He lied to you, but he told you, right? So I'm a Cubs fan too, so I can say that. He told you they were awesome, right? And you believed him. And so you think the Cubs are awesome now. And probably if I asked you, your kids cheer for the same teams that you cheer for now. And why do they do that? Because you tell them that they're awesome. And so they believe you. I don't really like ketchup. Just don't really like ketchup in general. But there are two things that I love ketchup on, all right? And they're both kind of weird. One of them is a bacon sandwich, all right? And the other one is grilled cheese. And do you know why I like ketchup on a bacon sandwich and a grilled cheese? Because my dad did. And my dad told me that ketchup on a bacon sandwich and grilled cheese is awesome. And so I put ketchup on bacon sandwiches and grilled cheese. And my sons are now starting to do the same thing as well, right? So we take the lead and leading the group morale of our family, and we tell them, this is an awesome family. And man, we say that often in a bunch of different ways so that they believe that it's true, and it unifies our family, which is one of our core values, right? And it brings the family together. But it's not just the group that we need to encourage. It's individuals as well. And that's number six, which is affirmation. Affirmation. And the phrase that goes with that is, you're doing great. You're doing great. And so we talked about this a lot last week, just this idea of the need for encouragement of our wives and our children, right? But man, we just can't underestimate the value of this either. And so almost every night before, as I'm putting my kids to bed, just to be real intentional about it and to make sure I'm doing it every day, Before I kiss my kids tonight, I look at each one of them and I say something like, "You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job." And sometimes that's all I say, and they'll say, "I'm doing a great job at what?" And I'll just say, "You're doing a great job at being my son. I'm so thankful that God gave me you as my son. Man, I'm proud of you." Or I'll say, "You're doing a great job of being a big brother. You're doing a great job of being a big sister. You're doing a great job of worshiping God." And so we give them this encouragement. And you know what they do usually when I say something like that to them? They smile, right? They smile, and it means the world to them. And so they need it. And man, how desperately do our wives need this as well? And especially in the area, I think, of mothering, mothering our children and kind of being the homemaker. It's not an easy job. Did you all know that? It's not an easy job at all. Do you know what it will do to you to be locked in a house for 8 hours with a bunch of little dictators? You know what I'm saying? Like, it is maddening. I heard Matt Chandler tell a story one time. He said, "My wife is the sweetest woman in the world. But one day I came home, she was with our little kids all day, and I walked in the door, and she looked at me, and she had this crazed look on her face, and she said, 'Take your children and leave.'" And he said, "I just looked at her, and I said, 'Can I come back?' And she said, 'Leave.'" He looked at her and said, "Okay, I'll take him to go get ice cream." And she said, "No ice cream for the children," right? She didn't want them to have any type of reward or anything. And so it can be maddening for our wives to do this day in and day out. And they desperately need for us to remind them that they're doing a good job. And just the other day, my wife was walking out of the house, and man, she's so organized and well prepared. And she was leaving, and it was early in the morning, and it was just kind of chaos broke out in the moment. And the kids were in the van, and she was walking out, and she said, "I just feel like I'm doing a terrible job. Look at this." And she got in the car, and you know, I kissed her, and I told her I loved her, and I just sent her a text, and I just said something really simple, like, "Babe, I know it feels like at times you're not doing a good job, but the truth is you are an incredible mother. You may not always see the results of your work, but you are leading our children well. And I love you and I pray for you." And man, that just meant the world to her to get that text and to be reminded of the truth, right? Because it's easy in the moment to get lost in our emotion. And so we need to look at our wives and we need to look at our children and we need to tell them, "You're doing a great job." And then number 7, evaluation. Evaluation. And the question that goes with that phrase is, how are we doing? How are we doing? And a passage you could throw with that is Psalm 139, 23 through 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." And so as a leader of the home, man, we need to survey the land. And we need to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, examine my heart. Lord, examine this family and reveal to me ways that we are not following you, that we are not living out this vision that we have set for ourselves." And so this may be the most difficult of the 9, right? Because for us as the man and as the leader, it requires us in humility to assess the situation and look at our family and even tell our family, "We are not doing well here. I am not doing well leading here." Okay? It's a hard thing to do, right? But man, we need to do it for the glory of God. And so this can be, again, kind of informal and formal, I think. And so it may just be that time that you spend with your wife after the kids go to bed, and you're just kind of casually talking and asking, "Man, how are we doing? Are you seeing any general attitudes that are consistent in the children or in me, maybe, right? Are you seeing any general behaviors that are not honoring the Lord or not living out the vision that we've cast for this family?" And so sometimes it's just kind of casual and general. But man, I also think it's really good once or twice a year to very formally pull out your battle plan, pull out your family plan, and sit down with your wife. And maybe it's when you do a getaway and you walk through your plan and say, "How are we doing? What are areas we're strong in? What are areas that we're weak in? What are some areas that we need to kind of firm up or change?" And so maybe we tweak some things. Maybe we add a new core value. Maybe we begin to emphasize this particular thing for this 6 months or this year. How are we doing? And then number 8 is correction. We can't just evaluate. We have to have a plan to fix it, right? correction. Let's make a change. And a passage you can throw with that is James 1, 23 through 24. And it's the passage talking about basically kind of how it's foolish to look at the mirror and see yourself and then walk away. See yourself that something wrong and walk away and not be changed. To be a hearer and not a doer, right? And so, like I said, correction, let's make a change. So we evaluate and then we determine, these are some things we need to change. We need to, add this core value. We need to emphasize this thing. We need to talk about this more commonly as a family. And, man, we talk through them. We pray through them. We seek counsel from the Word. We seek counsel from others who have walked through some of those challenges before. And then we make a change. We make a change, to move our family towards the vision. And then lastly, number 9. Protection and provision. Protection and provision. The phrase that goes with that is, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. And so a passage you can throw with this, 1 Kings chapter 2, right? We talked about this a lot last week in our call as men to lead, protect, and provide. And just to kind of wrap us up here, man, this is huge. It's important for us to protect our families and to provide for them. And when I was newly married, when things would get difficult, my wife would often say the same thing, and I never understood it. She would say, I just need you to tell me that everything is going to be okay. I just need you to tell me that everything's going to be okay. And I never understood that, but now I do. And the reason that she needs for me to tell her that is because it's my job to provide and protect for her and our family. She needs to know that regardless of what's going on, everything's going to be okay because I'm going to protect her and I'm going to provide for her and I'm going to meet the needs of this family. And man, that's not a confidence in me, right? That's a confidence in the Lord. And it's a confidence in knowing that the Lord is good, that He's sovereign, that He's in control, that He's loving. And it's assurance for her and for our family that those things are true, right? And so we lead and we protect and we let them know that everything is going to be okay because God is good and He's sovereign, He's loving and He's in control. And I'm going to do everything by the strength of the Lord to lead and protect this family and provide for this family. And so we provide and we protect and we say, I'll take care of you. And so these are 9 areas that God has given us as men to lead with intention in, to make the plan, to set the vision, and then to help us live it out and walk it out on a daily, weekly, and monthly process. And so my hope and my prayer is that, man, whether it's this week or next week, maybe as we begin to pray through this and think through this, that we would begin to formulate our own battle plan. And that we would call a family meeting and begin to create this document. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. The one that we have is a front and a back of a page. That's all it is. It doesn't have to be a 50-page document, right? But we set the vision. We say, this is where we're going. And this is how we get there. Follow me. Watch me. Let me show you how. You're doing a great job. This is a great family. And we walk it out and we lead day in and day out. And we do that as we draw upon the grace of God. All right, we're going to pray, and we're going to break up for a short time of small groups. And if you need to roll, we understand. You've got to get to work, and we'll go from there. Hopefully you'll be back next week, and we're going to next week try to hit you guys with some weapons to fight the battle with, some real practical tools to put in your hands to begin to live some of these things out. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you for the wisdom that it has for us to walk in your ways and to follow your commands. And so, Lord, may we as men, above all else, seek you and your kingdom. And Lord, may the overflow of that be to very intentionally lead our families well. We love you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.